Father, we thank you for this time we can read your word together. We can hear about how you are working through us and in our church each and every day. As we dive through the story of Cornelius and Peter, Lord, help us to be challenged by ourselves, that we may be aware of any barriers that may be in our lives as we go through. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Barriers. Most of you would know I came over, 96 now, a young age of 10 years old. And you can imagine coming over from Hong Kong, there's a lot of change that was, I was experiencing at that time. A whole new environment, suddenly everyone around me was new. I didn't have any friends because, all my friends were in Hong Kong. The environment around me was extremely quiet. If you've been to Hong Kong, you'll know how noisy it is in Hong Kong. I remember my first night, when we first came in Carlingford. I was lying there on the ground because we didn't have beds, ready yet. And my ears were ringing. This high-pitched noise of just how quiet it was. Because I was just not used to, being used to all the noise in Hong Kong. Another thing I was really surprised by moving over to Australia was just how little homework there was. Year five, I remember that probably first week, my teacher handed me an A4 sheet. And she said, "This is your homework for the week." And I was like, surely that can't be right. Like, this sheet for the whole week? We did more than that every day after school in Hong Kong. But the biggest challenge and change that I had to face was language. Now, of course, in Hong Kong, we did learn English, British colony and all. But yet, conversationally, I wasn't very capable. And my first year in primary school, I had to go to an ESL class. Many of you have been through that. And you're there with all the new immigrants to Australia, trying to learn basic grammar and learning to speak conversationally. I remember being really proud that moment when I was able to sound out and spell the word neighbor. It's still stuck in my head. It's possible it's because of the TV show and it kind of was in my mind. But either way, that year of ESL class, I was able to pick up much more conversationally how to speak. It wasn't easy because learning a language is not something that you can just pick up easily. You had to practice it. It took time, it took making mistakes, it took people laughing at me. And after a year in, I was able to finally be comfortable enough to start having conversations with other people and start making friends in primary school. Now, whether it be a language barrier or something else of a barrier in your life, these things can often hinder us in our daily living. It can lock us in to where we are, preventing us from going outside or making life more difficult than it should be. Often these barriers within ourselves can lead us to mistakes or even failures. And worst of all, barriers can stop us from getting to where we want to be. Whether it be in school, at work, in life, these barriers are no different to what the churches experienced in the first century. So as we see from today's story, the churches in the early years had barriers of their own, barriers that hindered its growth and created separation between people. It held the church back from being the church that God wanted it to be. Barriers that early Christians and apostles also had to navigate through. Because you see, Cornelius, the first character we saw in today's reading, was a Roman centurion. A centurion was a mid-level officer in charge of 100 men. They were known for their leadership, their discipline, and their loyalty to the Roman Empire. They formed the backbone of the Roman army. But of course, they weren't just warriors either. They were men of character, promoted for their bravery, they're respected by other people and trusted by their superiors. They were very much well integrated into the Roman and Greek world. They were figures of authority. They were used to giving orders and people listening to them. They had positions, privileges, wealth, and influences, and access to resources that many others, especially the Jews, would not have had. They navigated a difficult role in a complex social landscape. They lived amongst the people, but they were not really a part of the people. Especially for Cornelius, who was stationed in Caesarea, which was a Judean town with much of the population would have been Israelites. He was there to maintain order, to stamp out any threats that there may be, or resistance or rebellions. He was the one that was often sent to enforce the Roman laws when there was conflicts, and much of these laws was in contrast of the local customs. See, to the eyes of the local Jewish population, they were very much the outsiders. From a social perspective, he was a military leader, literally the occupying force there to control the Judeans. He was a walking reminder of their lack of autonomy and a harsh reality of living under a foreign rule. Every time you walk down the street, you see one of these soldiers, you're reminded of the national shame that you are enduring. That as a nation, you have no country to call your own. And as a people, you're scattered all over the Mediterranean. These Roman centurions were viewed with suspicion, resentment, and even hated by the Jewish people. They were essentially a walking symbol of the oppressions that they faced. But also from a religious perspective, these Roman centurions, these Roman soldiers were Gentiles. They were outside of the covenant people of God, to be considered ritually unclean according to the Jewish laws. Yes, while the Jewish people lived amongst the Gentiles, they were to be avoided as much as possible at the risk, because there was a risk of contamination, to be ritually unclean themselves, to be barred from worshipping in the temples. But also, they only have had to look back in their own Jewish history, in the Old Testament, to see, to be reminded of just how easy it was for them to be led away when they got too close to the Gentiles, to the foreign nations. When they got too close, they were tempted to forget and to disobey Yahweh. These Gentiles, they thought, were outsiders, a threat to their religious purity and their covenant faithfulness. But yet Cornelius, though not a Jew himself, him and his family knows the God of Israel. Whether through the synagogues or Jewish people in the area, he has come to live in active worship of Yahweh. He gave generously to the poor and he prayed regularly as a sign of his piety. Despite not being a part of the Israelite people, his heart was genuinely seeking God of Yahweh. And God sees and affirms this genuine heart and speaks to him. He acknowledges that his prayers and his gifts to the poor is known by God. And now he tells him to send men to Joppa and to look for a man called Peter. So while Cornelius knew Yahweh, he doesn't yet know about Jesus. He's going to have to find Peter to come and tell him about Jesus. Peter is going to be that instrument of God to reveal the truths to this outsider. And we're told immediately Cornelius obeyed and sent his men to Joppa to look for Peter. So from this just part of story, we see how God answers all those who seek him, even an outsider. So of course, last week we saw how God spoke and called Paul to his ministry, Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians. But now we see this invitation being extended out into all the nations as well. Those of whom the Israelites people would not have expected to be invited into this promise. And just as God did call out to other nations then, he continues to work in places and people we may not have expected. Just as he prepared Cornelius in all these years of his work in Caesarea, he is preparing hearts today to come to know him. People that are often outside of our immediate views, sitting in the background in the fringes of society, the Spirit is actively reaching them, calling out to them to worship Yahweh. See, at the start of our college, we had these prayer groups, three or four of us, didn't know each other beforehand, just to pray for one another and to encourage each other through college. And there was a man, I remember, who was in his mid-late 40s. And in these conversations, when you start to get to know each other, the first question is always, you know, how did you come to know Jesus? Why are you here in studying to at college? And this man started sharing his story about when he was young, how he was very rebellious. He ended up getting in trouble with alcohol and drugs and violence, ended up spending a few years in his 20s in jail. But yet it was that time in jail that someone came, those ministries that came and talked to people in prisons and told him about Jesus. And in the years that he spent in prison, this guy kept coming week after week to speak to him, to tell him about a God who cared for him and loved him. When he came out, started going to church, started finding more about Jesus himself, and started realizing how great this God was. And then he decided to serve him. He's now ministering in a church down south and serving the Lord. Someone who would have, many of us might not have expected God to have called and used. But yet, God spoke to him in his time when most people would have rejected him. God prepared his heart and sent his people to speak to him. See, as churchgoers ourselves, it's easy for us to have a kind of like a mold, a copy and paste, a picture of what Christians may be like. This story of Cornelius reminds us of God's vision. God's vision for his kingdom and his people is much, much bigger than our own. And he often calls outsiders to himself. Those who may have never imagined possible to become a believer. Often is that neighbor we come into contact with every day. That colleague we just talk to and work with, and don't really think that he has a place in God's kingdom. That friend we may not have seen for years, or that we have known for years, but we don't know how God can possibly bring that person to him. So God is at this time reaching out to them as well and wanting them to come to know him. So we are to pray and to expect the unexpected from God. To be free in the way we follow in his lead. And to be open to the opportunities he brings to our lives. And not let any human barriers limit what we think God can or will do. Cornelius the outsider, yet called to be a part of God's people. Peter, on the other hand, could not have been any more different to Cornelius. See, Peter was a devout Jew and apostle, one of the leading figures in the early church, an apostle who walked closely with Jesus. He has experienced the highs of Jesus' miracles and the lows of his own denial. From all that he has gone through, he is now convicted in his faith and passionate in spreading the kingdom of God. Yet Peter remained bound by his Jewish heritage and traditions. See, like Paul, Peter was also a Jew. And at this point, there was a lot of his Jewish history and a growing up that still framed his identity. He's committed to maintaining purity laws and have defined his defined his people for a generation. So this, as we shall see, will soon be challenged by his understanding of what God is doing in his people. As he prays like Cornelius was one day, up on his roof, talking to God, he too receives a vision from God. He sees a sheet being brought down out of the heavens, filled with animals of all kinds, four-legged animals. Some were reptiles and some were birds. And he hears a message from God and says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." So this command to kill and eat these four-legged animals, one of those are reptiles and fish, plural, would have directly challenged everything that Peter held within him. Because he would have grown up from Leviticus knowing that he was not to eat these animals that were deemed unclean. See, Peter's response was any faithful Jew's response. He says, "Surely not, my Lord. Surely not that I can't defile myself with these animals if I was to be a devout Jew and an apostle." Even though God gives him an assurance and says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean," he was resistant to this command from God. Even with his faithfulness and his love for Jesus, he was hesitant in obeying. This was too much out of his comfort zone as a Jew. Despite receiving the vision three times, Peter remains puzzled and resistant to this command. So God was saying to him, there is now an era that has come. Jesus has come and he's broken down the barriers of dietary cleanliness and uncleanness. God now brings people together from all nations. Jews can now eat with Gentiles without the fear of being made unclean before God. But more than that social change, God is showing Peter that there is now a new era that has arrived in the kingdom of God. God's salvation is not bound to the Israelite people any longer. No longer is purity or cleanliness defined by what they eat or who they associate with, but by the saving work that God has done. He is the one who makes the impure pure and the unclean clean. See, as Cornelius's men arrives, they spend a night with Peter, and finally Peter understands. Maybe not the full picture yet, but slowly on that journey, he goes with the men from Caesarea to see Cornelius. This vision challenged Peter's religious understanding, his cultural and his personal comfort, pushing him out of his religious bubble and into a broader, greater mission field. See, as a people of God, we're not only to call to challenge, to break down the barriers within our own personal prejudices. So as we saw with Cornelius about, whom we might expect God to call, we also need go of any human traditions or personal preferences that we may still be holding on to. The things that we may have grown accustomed to or be comfortable with. things that we are so used to doing week by week that have actually started to form walls to become a barrier between us and other people. Whether it be the way we worship, the words we use when we talk to other people, the way we evangelize, how we celebrate Christmas or Easter, the songs we sing, all these things can slowly build up a wall between us and people who don't know yet, who don't yet know Jesus. So it's often uncomfortable doing something new. For us to step out of things that we are so used to doing. And change is often scary and hard and full of uncertainties. But yet change is often the way God breaks down the barriers in our hearts. Barriers of comforts, of traditions. Change is often how God leads his people into a new season. Change is often the tool that God uses to speak his good news to a new generation of people. See, I'm not talking about change for change's sake, just for fun. But as a church, as a people of God, we are to be open to questioning our assumptions, to ask ourselves, why do we do the things that we do? Is it still effective to those that don't know Jesus? Does it make sense to people who don't speak the Christian language? Does it still honor God and encourage his people today? We have to seek out an answer to think, does it reach those that God has put into our lives? So all the while holding on to the truths of the gospel and his word and being willing to trust in his guidance and to seek out his will. Willing to walk forward and fail if need be. So the goal of our church or our ministries should not to just be continuing to do what we are doing. Not to preserve what we already have. But that all people may come to know and worship Jesus. Just as we've seen, you know, if you've been part of this church for a long time, things change in the last 10, 20 years. I hope things will not be the same in the next 10, 20 years. I hope that as we continue to step forward as a church, some of us will feel uncomfortable about things, about how we do things. Because as we adapt the gospel to a new people and a new generation, sing songs or doing things we may not have been used to, while yet glorifying the truths of the gospel, praising his name and drawing people to come and worship him here. So Peter let go of his own cultural traditions, ideas of ritual purity that he's learnt and lived by for all his life, for the sake of the gospel. That's the lesson God is teaching him in this vision. He accepts God's leading and is willing to break down his cultural barriers and goes with these Cornelius' staff to Joppa, eventually going into his house to share the gospel with them and even stayed with them. So it's easy for us to miss just how scandalous this would have been for Peter and the Jews around him. The oral tradition, the Mishnah, has a verse that says, the dwelling place of a non-Jew is unclean. They were barred from even entering into their place, for that would render them unclean in worshipping God. But Peter, now understanding and perceiving a new era of righteousness, one that is brought about by Jesus, he's able to see past the religious separations of his past. See, Cornelius and Peter forms a balance in this story to contrast how God uses everyone of his people to challenge all of his people. That is, everyone in his kingdom has a role in helping others grow. See, Cornelius was a new follower of God. His problem was that he had a barrier of knowledge. He knew of God. He wasn't sure everything that he believed in, but he was eager to know more. He was not originally part of God's people, but devout in faith nonetheless. To break down his barriers of knowledge, he needed someone to tell him the truth. When he was called with a vision, he immediately obeyed. So Cornelius was an outsider who needed clarity. Peter, on the other hand, was a mature church leader, a leader of God's people in that first century. He had personally experienced Jesus, born into the covenant people. His barrier was one of tradition. And to break that down, Peter needed a renewal of understanding. But despite his maturity and his experiences, he was hesitant in his response. He was an insider that needed transformation. See, together, as different as they may have been, God used them to challenge, to teach, and to grow one another. Through Peter, Cornelius knows clearly who God is now. Through Peter, he's able to know Jesus' saving work in the verses after. Verse 36, Peter says, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And through Peter, Cornelius and all his household was able to come to an assurance of faith, baptized by Peter and his friends. Peter, on the other hand, through Cornelius, was personally able to experience the growing inclusion of God's people, to break out of his cultural norms and his limited vision of God's kingdom, and in turn participated in the baptisms and in the spreading of gospels to Gentiles. When we consider what it looks like to break down our barriers, we know that we're all on a different part of our faith maturity and our walk with Jesus. Young, old, new, mature, we all have these boxes around us. And he's using other people around you to challenge you as well. God wants you to challenge other people in turn. Together, that we may be able to break out of these walls that we have built around us that stops us from seeing all of God's picture and lead one another into a deeper relationship with him. One of the things that, you know, people have told me, well, sometimes I use too many jargons when I speak about Christian stuff. And that's true. Like, those are the walls that I have built up over time. And I didn't realize that they were just coming out of me. Without someone telling me that those things were there, I may have never realized how unhelpful it was. Barriers that don't just hold our own faith back or our appreciation of Jesus, but other people as well. So when we come before Jesus as a church, as a people, we are to humbly serve others in this way and to be humbly served by others as well. See, if you're a young or a new Christian, learn from Cornelius' example. Seek to be taught. Don't be shy. Don't think you know everything yet. Look for someone older, more mature, more experienced, and learn from them. They may not see everything the same way you do, but they have a wealth of experience and failures and mistakes for you to learn from. Join a small group or a Bible study. Find a more mature mentor that you can follow. Don't hold back in your own faith. Keep asking questions and keep seeking answers. like Cornelius, seek out a clarity of your own faith. And don't let any barriers of knowledge or uncertainty hold you back. Don't settle for mediocrity in knowing Jesus. On the other hand, if you're an older, more established Christian in your faith, seek to be challenged in what you already know. Don't be too proud and think, I can't learn from these new Christians. Find someone who is new and see from them how they have come to know Jesus, how they love Jesus, how they come to worship him each day. Be exposed to them and the new passion of following Jesus, that you too can see how God is being glorified through them. Be exposed to questions of non-Christians, to challenge yourselves in those ways. And maybe ask ourselves, why do we do the things that we do? Things that we have grown accustomed to, maybe. Don't settle for just routines just because we've always done it the same way. Are they still effective in helping us in worshiping God and loving Jesus? So no matter where you are in your faith, we can continue to ask ourselves these things. What are the barriers that holds me back from a deeper appreciation of God's love? What are you using in Son's name?